Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There is Xavier Worthy, the Texas receiver, who set a record on Saturday, 4.21 seconds. Take that, John Ross, and your 4.22. Ross, the Bengals receiver, ninth overall in 2017, the last guy taken before Patrick Mahomes. Here's Xavier Worthy with the 4.21. Now, when you look at the all-time fastest 40 times, there aren't a lot of superstars on that page. Chris Johnson, the only one who's got like the third fastest time in the 40 to really get it done in the NFL. There's a lot of names there of guys that didn't pan out in the NFL. So straight line speed is clearly just a small piece of the puzzle, especially when you get sub 4.3. You still got to be able to do a lot of other things to make it in the NFL.
No, that's right. You got to be a good player. You're still going to have the instincts. You got to be able to change direction, right? But there's some guys on there that, you know, still pending. Put that list back up there, guys, if you can. I mean, we've seen Tariq Woolen, right? Reek Woolen, DJ Turner on the Cincinnati Bengals. I got some hope from him. Hey, Henry Ruggs, we know. I mean, listen, the arrow was pointing up. He had a horrible life accident, as we know, and that ended that, right? But, you know, you go back in time, too, and we go back in the past. You know, I think that's where it's not, because it's not the modern day testing of the lasers and all that, right, guys? But at the same time, like Joey Galloway ran 4.19 or something like that. Now that's pre-laser. You know, Deion Sanders, Darryl Green, Willie Gault, right? Those are guys that they led their combines in speed too, and they ended up being damn good football players. It's kind of been maybe not as many hits as that there, but, you know, we'll see what Xavier Worthy can do. That was amazing, Mike. I'm getting ready for dinner. I'm going to go out with the wife on Friday. I'm Saturday night, right? And I'm got it on TV, and I'm watching and keeping my eye on it. And I know Xavier Worthy is one of those guys that said, hey, I can run 4.2, and I heard a lot of people say that, right? So I'm sitting there, and I want to watch some of the other receivers in the group, and he gets up, and, man, he takes off, and it was one of those where I was like, ooh, that looked a little different than everybody else so far, right? And you knew it was going to be fast, right? You knew it was going to be because he had just run 4.25. But then second one, 4.21, you know, I yelled. It was pretty exciting. You don't see that every day. It was really cool to see, and especially when it's a fellow Longhorn. You know that.
It's also risk-reward with that, too. I can't remember the name of the guy who popped the hamstring, but you get injured. Guy injured a groin.
Well, our Clemson Friday, corner, Nate Wiggins.
Nate the Great.
He
Nate
pulled
the
his
great.
Hip flexor.
Lockdown Nate.
Right.
Lockdown Nate.
He did
Nate
call his shot, too. He said he would run 4.28, and he ran 4.28, Mike. I like that in the corner.
Yeah, and that's what you need. And look, as we talked about last week, if you get beat at the line of scrimmage, you got to be able to recover. The faster you are, the better chance you have to recover once you're running in a straight line. But there aren't many occasions where you're showing that straight line speed. How about Tavondre Sweat, the big fella? He predicted that he would cause people's eyes to bulge when they saw him run. 5'2", 740 at 366 pounds. That is a lot of man moving down the tracks.
Yeah, hey, Texas had a good showing. There's no doubt about it. Between Xavier Worthy, Tavondre Sweat, to be that kind of player where you're just going to be like a pillar in the middle of the defense that can't be moved and still be that athletic. And then our course, our man who came out of the womb swole, right, Byron Murphy, another great, he had a great showing as well, right? We heard Rodney wax poetically about him on Friday. But, yeah, Tavondre Sweat, that was totally opposite of seeing Xavier Worthy running down the track. Skinny, right? Xavier Worthy's 165 pounds. Here comes Tavondre Sweat, 100 pounds heavier, running down the track. Pretty impressive. 200 pounds heavier.
It's even crazy. He's three of him.
Right.
He's three of him. Two and a half of him. Unbelievable.
I thought one of the other really under-the-radar, big-time performance, not under the radar for the people who are really into the draft and all that, but the receiver from LSU, Brian Thomas, right? Not Malik Nabers. Brian Thomas is the other guy that's going to go in the first round out of LSU. How high, I don't know yet, but he pops on film. Mike, he ran 4.433, and he weighed 45 pounds more than Xavier Worthy, right? Pretty impressive, too. That would be another guy that I would say that stood out in a big way as far as the receivers were concerned on Saturday night.
Yeah, you move like that with that size, and that's when you become a guy that can do some damage on the football field because he can take a hit and deliver a hit with that extra weight. We also had Roma Dunze on with us Friday, and we talked to him about whether and to what extent he's going to work out. Let's have a listen to it. Chris, it starts with your question to him. And we really liked most of the guys we talked to, if not all of them last week. This is one of the ones we really liked. Here's some of his interview.
Yeah.
You're going to work out.
That's right.
I'm like, I didn't know that until this morning.
Yeah.
Because I thought like, oh, well, Rome, he's locked. Like, he's definitely going to be one of the three first receivers off the board. What led to that decision?
Well, for me, I just want to go out there and be able to, you know, compete, not against, you know, not just against all the guys here, but, you know, past generations to come, right? Like, this will be something that I'm sure that'll continue for a long time. So just to be able to compare myself and see where I'm at entering the league, I feel like it's a fun thing to do. As well as, like you said one of the three, right, to go off the board. I want it to be, you know, number
one. You want to be one.
I want to be the one to go off the board. So if I have to go out there and continue to prove why I'm the best and I have the opportunity to do that, I'm going to do it.
Look, it's one of the reasons why the scouting combine has thrived all these years. It taps into the natural competitive nature of guys in their early 20s. They view it as competition. It's not. It's not competition. They view it as competition because at the end of the day, everyone's numbers are going to be posted. Who's going to have the best numbers? You've got your own personal goal that you're trying to reach. I want to try to reach it. They made a big deal about the fact that Rome hung around to try to get what was he trying to get? He was trying to get his
three-cone drill
to a specific time. So he kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And again, there's a chance you're going to get hurt doing it. There's a point where you just got to stop. There's a point where you just got to say it is what it is. And, you know, and I know when you're that age, you feel like you're invincible. You feel like you're indestructible. You feel like you're immortal.
Yeah.
But he was determined to get to what he was going to get.
That's part of what, you know, makes these guys. And like you talk about a lot of the times, like sometimes you got to save themselves from themselves here, right? But this is one where, hey, not great injury risk. I get that. He's obsessive. He's a gym rat. We could tell that, right? He ain't afraid of anything. And, you know, also, I think when you call him handsome, million-dollar smile, you know, superstar-like persona, right? I think you take that into account, the personality, the way he handles himself, right? We saw his size in person, 6'3". I think he was just south of 215 pounds. I know people look at it and go, well, it was only a 4.45. That's not blazing, right? But he's a bigger receiver. But that's, you know, also blazing, not necessarily his game totally. That's enough speed to scare you deep. The other numbers are impressive, Mike, right? When you get into 39-inch vertical, when you get into a 1.52 10-yard split, right? That shows you he can get off the ball and explode in a hurry, right? The three-cone drill, the 20-yard shuttle, those are all really damn good numbers. And as you can see right here where they are, three-cone drill is fourth, right, out of the receivers. Short shuttle, 4.03, second, right? And then, of course, his height and weight are top five to go along with it. The 10-yard split was top five, and a vertical jump that's 39 tied for 11th, and like first and second are only like an inch and a half more than that. You know, that was an impressive showing. I think between what he did on the field, the fact that he was like, I'm going to compete, and then the personality, which I think going to blow everybody away, Romo Odunze certainly helped himself this weekend.
Well, and 4.45 isn't blazing, but I think it's fast enough to give you a chance once the pads are on.
Exactly.
Because it's always different when the pads are on. Just as Jerry Rice, who was a hell of a lot faster with the pads on compared to everyone else than he was when it was time to run 40 yards in a straight line without pads. But the key to being a number one receiver in the NFL is having his speed to draw double coverage. That's what Juju Smith-Schuster found out when they made the 2018 Steelers MVP the number one receiver after they traded Antonio Brown. He couldn't be a number one receiver because he wasn't fast enough. He ran a 4.54. Not a 4.45. That extra tenth of a second may be enough to give Odunze a chance to be a true number one who commands double coverage and opens up the rest of the offense. And you throw in the size.
And the route running ability, which those short shuttle and three cone drills show, right? That's where it's going to really help him. You're saying it right, Mike. You're right on top of it. Exactly right. It's not going to be, oh, no, he's going to beat me deep for 70 yards like it's Tyreek Hill. But it's enough to go, oh, no, he can beat me 70 yards, so I have to respect that. And then it's going to be, oh, wait, he boxes me out. And his body, he jumps over me when I got him covered. Oh, man, he's unbelievable at setting up routes or coming out of breaks and doing all that, right? It's a Davante Adams-ish type skill set. More of what I've seen from Romo Odunze. And I think that's maybe what we can expect from there. And if I remember right, I think Davante Adams even ran a slower 40 than that. Maybe I'm wrong. Pete could probably look that up for us. But, you know, I get that type of feel from this kid when I watch him.
I mean, and here's the bottom line. Your goal is to be more than one defender can handle. If you're more than one defender can handle, that benefits your offense because it reduces the numbers on the defensive side of the ball because they have to allocate extra resources to you.
That's right.
You want to be truly special in the NFL at a skill position. You want to be a guy that makes defensive coordinators sit around and say, oh, crap, how do we defend him with extra resources? What do we do? How do we move coverage to him? What guy do we put on him? How do we do – You want to be – remember there was that time when nobody knew how to defend Rob Gronkowski. That was the big question in the NFL. Like every week, every year, what do you do? Do you use a safety? Do you use a linebacker? Do you put two guys? Do you put three guys? Do you put no guys? What do you do? Steelers tried no guys opening weekend of one of those seasons, and it didn't work out very well. I think it was 2015.
There was a lot of guys that were no guys.
But you become obsessed with it. You become obsessed with that. That's how you – add real value and earn real money as a receiver tight end in the NFL. You want to be that guy that they just have no idea how to handle.
Yeah, that's exactly right, right? And Davante Adams, Pete, looked it up, 4.56, right? So there's more explosive ability than that. And I think you said something too, right? When pads go on, things like that. See, this is a guy where his strength and size, like the pads aren't going to affect him, right? That's what people will like about him in the NFL. He's probably the type of guy that can run 4.45 like 40 times in a row, right? It's easy for him. And you watch him run, it's smooth. It's not work. So he can make every route look the same. And that's where it becomes scary. And then you add the ability to plant the foot, explode out of the break, do all that, which he's elite at. That's when you got something there. And then you talk about gym rat, willing to work, personality, wants to talk to the quarterback, you know, wants to be friends and a leader. You know, that to me is a guy that you go, Dan, that's a pillar of our offense, and that's a guy we want in our locker room.
And think about it. The less of that, you know, and we all have been in that situation where you're exerting yourself to the point where there's nothing else you can do other than focus on exerting yourself. If you're doing it in effortless fashion, you can transition to other things because your full focus isn't on running as fast as I can from point A to point B. So
exactly.
When you have that kind of
right.
smooth, easy stride and that short area stop and start and move,
right.
and be it, look, we'll see how it goes. You never know with any of these guys what's going to happen until you put them on the NFL field against NFL opposition with that corner in their face that's willing to do the luxurious sneed on Tyreek Hill and just throw you into the ground. Can you get away from that guy? Once you do, what do you do down the field? We'll find out with all these guys once they become part of the NFL, which is coming soon, coming far sooner than that. The 49ers. They were trying to decide between internal. They were trying to decide between external. Well, hey, they found a way to do both in replacing Steve Wilks as the defensive coordinator post-Super Bowl 58. We'll talk about that next here on PFT Live. Use the Force, Luke. There he goes, chasing the ghost of his big brother Christian and beating him and winning. 447 for Luke McCaffrey, 448 7 years ago for Christian. Luke is a compelling story. Went to Nebraska as a quarterback.
Yeah.
Transferred to Rice at quarterback. Played quarterback at Rice. Became a receiver. He did the reverse Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
Went to receiver from quarterback. 2 years at receiver. Nearly 1,000 yards last year at Rice. A bunch of touchdown catches. And he's got NFL DNA. And they got him as like a day three guy. Look, man, you got a guy whose dad and brother played in the NFL. You got a guy who's not going to be freaked out in any way, shape, or form by the NFL. How do you not look at this situation and think, this guy's got a chance to be pretty good? He's getting advice on a regular basis from two immediate family members who know how to succeed in the NFL. And he's clearly got the physical ability.
100%. Definitely. I mean, the McCaffreys are, you know, as we talked about, I mean, Mama McCaffrey and Dad McCaffrey are freak athletes. Both sides of the family. Right? And yeah, this has smellings of day three, late mid-round pick, you know, something like that. Oh, wow. Whoa. Oh, whoa. He's starting in the slot for this football team? You know, as a rookie, oh, he can do all that? Well, yeah, I mean, he's 6'2". He's almost 200 pounds. You know, we talk about the three-cone drill just a minute ago with Romo Odunze and all that. He ran a 6'7". That tells you the ability to change direction, run routes, that's all going to be there. The 10-yard split, 1.52, same as Romo Odunze, right? So, yeah, this is one where, hey, he's new to the position. The film and the offense not might be, you know, overwhelmingly wowing. I don't know. I haven't got there yet, but that's what I'm expecting. But then he's going to be like, we get him in the NFL. Wait, he really knows how to run routes. Wait, he's got pretty good size. Wait, he understands coverages. Wait, he continues to get better and work at it. Right? So, yeah, I hear what you're saying, Mike, totally about this one.
And one of the things I've learned over the last 23 years, and this is true in any business, if you are required to make assessments and predictions, you want to be able to defend yourself against a bad one. So scouts and general managers, in order to avoid being held accountable internally, they will defer to relying on tangibles over intangibles. Because if your pick goes sideways,
yes,
you at least go back to your tangible evidence to support why you did it. It's undeniable. It's in black and white. This is why we did it. Hey, why did you pick that guy? The guy ended up stinking. But look at what he did here, and look at what he did there. Here it is. You can't deny it. The intangibles are something where you're going on feel. You're going on, and I go back to 2017, the same year Christian McCaffrey was drafted. T.J. Watt, one of the best defensive players in the NFL, lasted until pick number 30.
Yeah, right.
And I remember when the Steelers drafted him.
Right.
I remember thinking, you know.
Uh-oh, we all missed something.
You know,
why did we let him get to 30?
You know.
Right. Yeah. Enough.
You know.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
And so let's not do that with Luke McCaffrey, all right? Because maybe it is more intangible than tangible at this point. But I would say the intangibles are pretty strong. And he gave us a pretty strong tangible on Saturday, running faster than his brother did. I know it's different positions, but still, 447, NFL DNA, being around locker rooms. We talked about that last week. It's one of the reasons Patrick Mahomes took to the NFL. He'd been around pro clubhouse with his dad. You don't freak out in that sense. So anyway, I'm not on the McCaffrey payroll yet. But again, as I said earlier in the show, I am the guy you buy. I'm not the guy you kill. I think there's a chance Luke McCaffrey can kill it in the NFL. And I think if we get too caught up in the intangibles, we're going to miss the reality that this guy is screaming out, I can come to the NFL and get it done. My brother did it. My dad did it. I think I can do it too.
Yeah, no, I hear you there. You know, in a lot of ways, these guys are made, this kind of guy is made for the NFL more than he is for college football. right? So we'll see where he can go. But, yeah, I mean, you know, like we talked about, the lineage, the work ethic, and, you know, the instincts, right? Knowing that human being, that's where that, you know, does come into play for these football teams, right? And the guys that value that slot receiver, the guy who can read the coverage on the run and do all that, it's certainly more value in that type of player in the NFL than there is to college. It's not even close.
Your friend Kyle Shanahan will probably be pissed off when he sees this, in part because he's probably always pissed off by something I say, but he doesn't want the rest of the NFL to wake up to what would be a hell of a story. Luke and Christian McCaffrey on the same team, and Luke McCaffrey said last week he's already met with the 49ers a couple of times in advance of the draft. Speaking of the 49ers, the news emerged on Friday, I think, as we were traveling home.
Right.
Nick Sorensen, a guy who knows the Seattle Cover 3 defense well. He got his coaching career started in Seattle during their great run of success on that side of the ball. He's the new coordinator, but Brandon Staley is on the staff. And I think it's as simple as Sorensen knows the defense, and Staley is in a position to come in and just kind of augment everything. I think if Staley was a Seattle defense guy, he'd have been the coordinator. I think this is a way for Kyle to kind of have it both ways, Chris.
I would agree with that. I think it's, you know, as far as Shanahan and the 49ers concerned, I think this works out great, right? Yeah, I know Shanahan loves that system. And, of course, Robert Saleh, D'Amico Ryan, they came from that system. He believes in it. They've been a top defense in football.
And the team is constructed to run it.
Exactly
right. The
team's
already built to run it.
The personnel is made perfectly for this type of scheme. So I did not expect Shanahan to leave the scheme overall, right? Especially like, oh, Brandon Staley's going to be the D coordinator or something like that, where the early rumors were. It was like, wow, well, Shanahan's going to change kind of his base philosophy on that side of the ball? No, he's not, obviously. With the Nick Sorensen, you know, boosting him up from defensive pass game specialist and all that to now full-time defensive coordinator, yeah, I think you're kind of saying it right, Mike. They got a guy that, hey, we keep the system in place. We got that. Hopefully he can teach you better than Steve Wilks. And, hey, Brandon Staley, you know, learn the system, learn what we do. And then once you learn it, maybe you can add a few tweaks for us, too, within the confines of you and your Vic Fangio background and add something to it, right? You hear me say all the time, it's one of the things I don't love about the Seattle scheme at times, is that there's just lack of curveballs as the game goes on. Again, I think that's why you've seen, you know, what is it? The 4 out of the 5 10-point second half leads in the Super Bowl have all been the Seattle defense, because once a team kind of gets late in the game, they start to go, wait, when we do this, they're kind of just playing us like this all the time. We know that. And I felt like that was a part of the reason we saw the Chiefs couldn't be stopped late in the football game. So, you know, I think that's where it could be come in handy for Shanahan and the 49ers down the road.
Speaking of the Chiefs, a couple of reports over the weekend indicated that the 49ers were interested in hiring legendary Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo. His contract was expiring. How about that?
I mean,
Spagnuolo's defense beats the 49ers twice in the Super Bowl. If you can't beat them, hire them.
Exactly.
But, of course, the Chiefs did the prudent thing. They broke out the checkbook and kept Steve Spagnuolo around.
That would have been shocking. Listen, I haven't heard that. So, I mean, that was news to me, like, totally. I did not hear that through the grapevine or anything. Usually, with a name like Steve Spagnuolo and a team like the 49ers, you hear from a few people around football to go, hey, you know, 49ers have been talking, you know. So when I saw that on whatever it was, Saturday or whatever, I was shocked to see that. One, because of what I just talked about, Shanahan seems very, you know, indoctrinated into that Seattle scheme, right? And to think that it even got far enough down the road to where there was a conversation or all that. So that'd have been something. That'd have been interesting, without a doubt.
By the way, before we take a break,
yeah,
can we put up the photo that we had of Nick Sorensen, the coach? And this is a message to all the kids out there. If your parents, if your boss, if your teachers are telling you to cut your hair, wait as long as possible in your life to cut your hair, because you can always become corporate guy. That is waiting. At some point, you will recognize, I'm too old to have long hair. We've had that conversation about Trevor Lawrence. What's the over-under on when he finally cuts his hair?
Gosh.
Because
yes,
there was a time when Nick Sorensen was Hercules. Hercules, Hercules.
Yes,
he had the long hair. They called him Sunshine after the character. And remember the Titans, the quarterback with the long hair. When I saw that photo of Nick Sorensen, I shed a tear. Where have you gone, Sunshine?
Yeah. Yeah, you said it right. He had to get in the corporate world. Nobody wants to, you know, maybe nobody wants to see as many ponytails and things like that once you get in the corporate world. It's cool when you're a football player. You're a renegade. You're allowed to be like that. Corporate world, things change a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, right now, I mean, that was one of the things that jumped out to me about the combine. My wife, too. I mean, a lot of people with long hair. I mean, just hair's in style right now. Long hair, beards. I mean, it's everybody. And it really is. My son, this stupid haircut all the teenagers are wearing right now, the boys, right? I don't know if you've seen it. It's like a mop on their head. All I do every day is tell my son, you look horrible. Can you please get a haircut? I can't take this shit anymore, right? Sorry, London.
Is his response, Dad, have you looked in the mirror lately at your hair?
Every time. Every time. Oh, my gosh. You're going to talk? You're going to talk? Your stupid hair. You look like you're the general in the army. Look like a general. You look like you're in the army.
Major general. Sergeant general.
Sergeant general. That's right.
Yeah. You know, here's the other thing, too, though. Look at there's young
Thor.
Nick Sorensen in his sunshine days. And here's the thing. If you go with the long hair once you get old, the problem is, like, long flowing gray hair
for
a guy.
And
if you dye long hair when you get old, you're Mike Gundy.
Or the guy that starts to lose their hair and they have like half their head bald, right? And then they have a ponytail. I'm always like, come on. I mean, what's going on here? I don't know. I mean, we got a little best of both worlds here. We got no hair on this side of the head. We got way too much hair on this side of the head.
Well, look, it's better than the thing that was a staple of the 70s and 80s. I don't see it much anymore.
You're right.
Well, I do see it in one fairly high-profile place where someone will take whatever's left and like do this whole the comb-over. You take this whole elaborate like you grow it real long here,
right.
And you use it to create your own personal toupee.
Yeah, there's only one guy that's dominating the comb-over conversation now. He's dominating that one.
Take a break. Let's take a break. When we return, the kickoff may indeed be changing, and one very thrilling moment from NFL lore may never be recreated. More PFT Live right after this.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
We met with the special team coaches this past Sunday, that is we being the competition committee, and it seems as though there's a combination of a little bit of XFL, a little bit of USFL,
yeah,
that they could bring into the play that can make it interesting. What I find to be fascinating is they potentially can put in another 1,500 to 2,000 plays. You know, you just start talking about that's a dead ceremonial play. We saw that. You go from 38% returns to 20-22. But to talk about setting up a play that potentially can put in an additional 2,500 plays, that's exciting.
The NFL, in its effort to make the kick return play safer. And the problem is you get players running at each other full speed, maximum forces on the areas of the body that can become seriously injured, specifically the cervical spine. They have changed over the year to the point where, and that's been their solution. It's dangerous, so let's create a situation where it happens less frequently. And now it's to the point where it doesn't happen hardly at all. So, multiple reports out there about the proposal that will go to the owners 3 weeks from right now, today or tomorrow, for a new kickoff. Here it is. We've got the graphic so we can properly understand exactly what is on the table. It is a hybrid. It's not the full XFL proposal because even though the players are lining up on the opponent's 40, the kick comes from there too. It doesn't come from behind the action like in the XFL. So all 11 guys on the opponent's 40. The receiving team is on the 35. There will be one, maybe two guys back. There was a discussion about whether or not there would be two guys deep. The ball gets kicked. The players can't go until the ball either gets to the 20 or it is caught. And the whole idea, let's get the ball in play, because if you kick a touchback from the 40, the ball goes to the 35-yard line of the receiving team. If it rolls into the end zone, it's a touchback to the 20. So the 25-yard touchback is extinct. And Chris, more importantly, although this mechanism contemplates an onside kick, which would give you very good field position if you recover, what it does, you can only do it if you're trailing in the fourth quarter, and it takes the surprise onside kick off the table.
Wow. Man, I mean, timing is everything, right? I mean, I don't know. Can the Saints beat the Colts in the Super Bowl if they don't have the surprise onside kick? I don't know if they can. That's a big, big play there. But, I mean, I know it's a mute point as far as it hasn't been involved in our league here really the last few years in general anyways. So, you know, I understand. I think I like this. I like everything about it. I will say the one thing I don't understand totally is, you know, it looked like to we're going to judge when the ball crosses the 20-yard line in the air as far as when the players are going to go. That seems a little odd. I don't know. But I guess they need to buy a little more time for, you know, to gain space, to not let the DBs or the kicking team get down there too quickly. But I'm intrigued by this whole thing. I am. I'm intrigued. And again, with the different type of kickoff on the 40-yard line, like you explained, that's different as well. These kickers are going to have to get used to, you know, using the pitching wedge, the sand wedge a little bit, which they don't usually have to do. And that's going to be kind of a different skill set altogether.
Hey, and Chris, well, I got a couple of things to say. Yeah. First of all, it's possible that it's the ball hitting at or inside the 20. The proposal isn't 100% clear in that regard. But here's the other thing. You don't need a kicker anymore if you're kicking from the 40. You don't need a traditional kicker. You're wasting a body that isn't built to participate in the play.
Sure.
You can put a guy out there who is good enough to pooch the ball between the 20 and the goal line. You just work on a guy. I mean, you know, anybody who's fast enough or built in a way that you would want him to go participate in the play after that. So that advantages.
So you're
the,
saying like
the
yeah,
kicking
I get you. I mean, yeah, like the Chiefs, right? Justin Reed could probably kick it off, right? We've seen him do it. So now you have 11 tacklers on the field. You don't have to worry about really. We only have 10 guys, and we got a kicker that we hope can trip somebody. I hear you there, Mike. That is interesting. It is. Now most of these guys you're talking about aren't going to be able to maybe, you know, pin it in the corner, right, on the 3-yard line and kick it up straight in the air and have it land like we've seen. These guys have gotten so good at kicking and punting the ball, right? They're that good to go away. I could knock it right in there. You put a box on the ground, I'll knock it in there. They are. So that's, you would lose that aspect if you got, you know, a defensive back or a receiver kicking the ball that way. But it does open the door to it, to your point. There's no doubt.
It opens the door to all sorts of things. Yeah. And for a league that is typically paralyzed by fear of unintended consequences, This, to me, seems like a potential box full of Pandora of unintended consequences.
Oh, I like it, though. I like this one. Open it up.
Well, because think of all the different stuff you can do. You can kick the ball. You can kick the mortar. We thought the mortar kick was going to become in vogue this past year when the ability to get the ball at the 25 with a fair catch short of the goal line came into play. That never happened. Last year, there was all sorts of talk about what teams were going to do to combat the change, in part because the coaches didn't like the change. So we're going to come up with a way to create unintended consequences. I just think there's a lot more room for creativity and experimentation. And I assume it's just going to be a one-year change, 24 votes to do it for 1 year, so you don't need to get 24 votes to get rid of it after 1 year. I think it's too experimental. There's too many different variables that I like the fact that they're trying to put the kickoff back into the game. I don't like the fact that the surprise onside kick goes away. I really don't like that. It's, to me, one of the rare occasions when the NFL's justifiable obsession with making the game safer changes the game. We are taking, and I think for the first time, yes, the game has changed. It's far less brutal. It looks different when you watch it. It's been an evolution, not a revolution. For the first time, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, they're taking off the table part of the game. The Super Bowl 44 surprise onside kick. The Steelers tried one in Super Bowl 30 that didn't work out. And I don't know that the success rate for surprise onside kicks has changed all that much. They don't happen very often. It's harder to recover a planned onside kick, but part of a surprise onside kick is if you do it right, the guys that otherwise would recover it start running back. They start retreating. You see something that makes you think we can get away with this and let's do it. So I don't like that that's going away.
Yeah, I hear you there. I hear you. But I think with where we are, you know, in the current environment, we can't have it all on this play. I'd be more in favor of let's actually have a kick return, right? If we had to, like, eliminate one thing, which right now is, like, we're going in. Last year we had surprise on kicks, onside kicks, but we don't actually have kick returns. Or you give me this version of where we're going to have kick returns and we don't have surprise on kicks, I'll take this version. I want to see the kick returns. And if we have to sacrifice the surprise on kick, onside kick, then so be it. I hear you there. I think this is probably a necessary adjustment. I get it. And I'm just glad to see that the NFL is willing to tinker with this a little bit. And I'm excited. Like Troy Vincent said, the X's and O's schematical stuff with this, I think, could get very creative. Special teams coaches, they got a lot of time on their hands, right? So they're going to be able to really think about some different things and different ways in which they want guys to drop and blocking patterns and all that, to where, you know, I think it can add some little flavor to our game this year, this next coming year.
I mean, really, after the kickoff at the 40, you could have multiple members of the kicking team drop back to be the second line in the event that you go all in.
Right.
The return man pops through, he's gone. There's all sorts of different things you can do to try to work with this. It's the kind of thing that we'd love to have Bill Belichick in the league, because he would probably have some good ideas on how to do it, and there'll probably be some coaches out there reaching out to him to get his ideas. Let's take a break. More PFT Live right after this. The football world lost one of the all-time pioneers on Sunday, the passing of Chris Mortensen, who truly was the first NFL TV insider.
Right.
He had been diagnosed several years ago with stage 4 throat cancer. Chris, I remember the days before the internet, and you got your football information from your newspaper and your local TV station, and you got highlights on ESPN, but you didn't get news. You'd get a deep dive, long form story in Sports Illustrated, but they always moved around to the biggest stories. It was hard to get much about what was happening in the NFL.
Right.
And as a Vikings fan in Steelers country, I wanted to know more about what was happening in the NFL. And when he showed up on ESPN in 91 and started doing the Inside the Huddle segments on SportsCenter, that was like appointment viewing for me. Like, whatever I was doing, if I had ESPN on and here came Chris Mortensen, everything stopped. I wanted to hear, and it would be 3, 4, 5 nuggets. I wanted to hear what he was going to say, because that was the only way to find out what the hell was going on in this sport that we love.
Yeah, he's, I'm hurt. I really am. When I saw this news last night, Chris Mortensen's been a great friend to the Sims family for a long time. He's been somebody that I've had a close relationship with, you know, towards the end of my career playing football, and it continued into my media career, right? Love Chris Mortensen. He's a pioneer in a lot of ways for what he did for the sport, and then did it in a way that was classy, right? Grace, dignity, or knew things about people around the league that, you know, he had more information than people even realize, right? But that's the part of the business he was in. He never used it against anybody. He never burned anybody. He was a great human being. He was a great friend of mine. And I knew he was in trouble, but I didn't realize it was trouble to this extent, to where, you know, that was shocking last night. So RIP to Chris Mortensen. Big shout out to his family. He's an all-time great in my mind, and a staple in the NFL, really, for the last, you know, 30-something years.
I'll give you a quick example of the character that both he and Peter King have. They both were burned by the same source on the Deflategate 11 of 12 footballs thing. Remember that?
Yes.
They didn't make that up.
Right.
They didn't make that up.
No.
They didn't lie about that.
No, they did not.
Somebody lied to them.
Right.
Somebody from the league office lied to them, and they never threw that person under the bus. Now, I have no formal journalistic training, but there surely would be a way to justify when someone deliberately lies to you, saying this is why, you know, and the you know, the walls closed in on both of them, and they took it. So that takes a lot to stand in the face of that when you know it wasn't your fault, and everybody thinks it was your fault because you got lied to by somebody that you made the mistake of trusting, who you had every reason to trust. So that says a lot to his character and Peter's character, because they were the two that got lied to. And, you know, I have a feeling those were the two that got picked for the lie because they knew everybody would believe them.
Yeah, probably, you know. But like you said, he knew everybody in every facet of the league, owners, things like that. He was so well connected. And to have that type of job and really be the jump-off point for, you know, a lot of people in this NFL world now, I mean, Adam Schefter and whoever, right? It all started with Chris Mortensen. And like you said, back in the day, man, the Mort Report, any stuff like that that came on in the 90s, man, you were like, wait, hold on, Mort's on. He's going to tell me something definitely that nobody else knows in football right now. We got to watch and hear what he says, to your point. And that's where he was great, and he started this whole side of the business. So, yeah, it hurts. It's a bad day for the NFL because Chris Mortensen's one of the great contributors to this league that we've ever had.
At the risk of sounding like Forrest Gump's mother, I view regret as like a bag of groceries. And if you carry around enough regret, you can't walk. And I try not to have any regrets in anything that I do. It slows you down and it impedes your progress. I'm looking at an email I got from Mort, September 18, 2019. And I regret that I didn't take him up on this offer. He said, I would like to speak with you by phone sometime before I leave this world. And it's my fault for not finding the time, not making the time, getting caught up in the day-to-day life. A lot happened after September 18 of 2019. And at the end, he closed, Chris. Now go have fun with Christopher.
Damn, you're going to make me cry. So, damn. I don't know what to say. Damn, that hurts. Here's my
Let's
buddy.
Take a break.
Yeah.
So we just here to let y'all know it ain't a 4-2-2.
Yeah.
It's a 4-2-1.
No, get on back over here. Get on back. Come on. Come on.
Xavier Worthy finds out that he broke the record at the Scouting Combine for the 40-yard dash. Today's draft, the winners from Combine Week. Christopher, as I search for the notes that I so laboriously put together, you are up.
Well, I mean, I'm going to go with him right off the bat, right? I mean, I went to Texas, Xavier Worthy. Come on, he was the big play guy there. And you're talking about Combine Week winners. I mean, week winner, year winner, right? Yeah, like every time we have the combine until somebody breaks this, Xavier Worthy is winning. They're going to show his highlight every year. I mean, this is special. It's a game of we love speed. We love, you know, the big play threat, that type of guy. This is a big play type of guy. And when he like kind of matches that with you know, jaw-dropping, eye-popping type of speed, hey, you win the combine. You really do. That's the record that everybody thinks is the most prestigious, and that was special that he broke that on Saturday night.
I'm going to start with the guy that we talked to on Friday and talked about early in the show, Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Because if there was any doubt whatsoever that he is the clear-cut number one overall pick and the Bears are taking him, it is now gone. And I guess, I suppose, there's some way someone will make the Bears an offer they can't refuse. I'd still refuse it. I'd say, remember when the Dolphins were trying desperately to get Joe Burrow?
Yes.
And they wouldn't even listen
right.
to what Miami was offering.
Right.
They wouldn't have taken anything. That's what the Bears need to do.
Well,
take Caleb Williams. Don't look back. They haven't had a franchise quarterback since Sid Luckman.
Yes.
Don't even entertain any offer. Just take Caleb Williams and move on.
The value to go to number one to get a guy like Caleb Williams is literally like four first-round picks. I mean, it's the price tag is so big. There's nobody that's going to do that. Nobody. Right?
I'd say it's even more than that.
It's
more than that.
Four first and something else. Right. Maybe a second and something like that. That's what we're talking about here. As it looks right now, this is it's looking like it's a generational type talent. So, yeah, I'm with you there. And yeah, you're right. Chicago, you haven't had anybody. Let's go with this guy. I'm going to go with the corner from Toledo, Quinyon Mitchell, right? A guy that was in the conversation, I think, going into the combine as maybe being the top corner off the board, right? Now, he got a little upstage by the fact that Xavier Worthy ran this fast time. But Quinyon Mitchell to, first off, 6 foot, right? Just a little south of 200 pounds. And then to run 4.33 at 6 foot, right? Have a 1.51 10-yard split, right? We talked about Roma Dunze at 1.55 and 1.54 as being, wow, that's a special 10-yard split. This is 300th of a second faster, right? These are the kind of numbers with, again, what I hear, and I haven't studied DBs yet, that will solidify him being the top corner off the board. Now everyone's going to be warm and cozy. Oh, he went to Toledo. The speed is real. We can trust it. Boom. And now he's got a good chance to be the first corner off the board.
Next one for me is FedEx. And not just because they finally got their name off of that crap hole stadium in Maryland that it's been on. Here's why. You know, this swag?
Yeah.
We talked earlier about how you gave yours to the crew. You were very selfless
because
you weren't going to be able to pack it. They give guys all this stuff at the combine, all this swag. The teams do. The combine does. And then they got to take it home. And there's a FedEx office there. I'm told by one agent who's got four clients who were at the combine, it costs $1,700 to send the stuff home. So NFL, just send the stuff to the guys because they want it. They want to take it home. They want this stuff. It's great. But just send it to their house in the first place because FedEx made a little coin this weekend shipping the combine swag home.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. That's a smart thing right there. Let's give them all this stuff so therefore then they have to pay us to ship it back home. It's very, very well done, FedEx. Really is. He got the inside job there. It's pretty awesome. Man, I don't know where I want to go, you know, with this next one. You know, I gave a receiver love. I gave a DB love. I'm going to go with the pass rusher and a guy that we get to see his personality and another one that had that superstar persona. Dallas Turner of Alabama, right? The pass rusher. You know, again, I know he was viewed as like the top pass rusher in the draft, but there's something to be said when there's expectations and you meet it. We weren't sure how big he was. Oh, wait, he's 248 pounds. He's bigger than we thought. You know, you and I saw him in person. We're like, damn, it just looks like an explosive athlete, right? And he had that confidence to be like, yeah, I'm explosive and I'm special. For him to go out, run the best time of all the pass rushers of the combine, 4.46, have a 40.5-inch vertical, have a 10-yard split that's worthy of a top-tier wide receiver, that's a pretty damn special day. I mean, look at this guy. Can you imagine, like, hey, quarterbacks, coming to a field near you. It's a freak pass rusher at 248 pounds, and he's got three rockets up his ass. Good luck dealing with him.
You used that phrase in front of one of the prospects this week, and he didn't know what to say when he heard about having three rockets up his ass. Last one for me, the chickens of the world won last week. And, you know, for a long time, and I don't
they
know if
they win
still
or lose,
it, but Chick-fil-A has that ad campaign where the cows all say, eat more chicken.
Right.
Hey, they're
not
eat
in
more
Indianapolis.
Cow
yeah.
Is, in Indianapolis, it's eat more cow.
It's cow,
I think,
cow, and more cow.
I think I can never eat another steak.
Yeah.
I think I'm done for the rest of my life with steak after last week. So
you got,
we're
you
gonna
got,
take a break.
Are you like on Meet the Parents now? You got milk coming out of your nipples? You get so much cow?
We'll be right back on that note. Jason Kelce has made an announcement. His announcement is he will make an announcement later today. No keg videos this year. I have come to a decision and will address it at a press conference this afternoon, a.k.a. he's out,
wow.
Chris.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, that's what you and I think, both thought.
You don't have a press conference to say you're coming back.
No, exactly right. That's exactly right. So I'm expecting that. Hey, it's been a great career. We know how special he is, and I would expect we'll be talking about this or leading off the show tomorrow about this. But I think we all felt like the writing was on the wall for Jason Kelce to retire.
I wonder if he's already got his next job lined up in broadcasting.
Yeah.
Amazon.
Yeah.
Wherever.
I would think
in
something's
booth,
in the works.
In a studio.
He's going to be somewhere.
I have a feeling we may find out later today. Press conference is coming.
See ya.
See you tomorrow morning. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.